Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, is a dog a dog? What are these animals that we live with? Do they have deep souls? Well, maybe we find out by living with them. And I want to introduce an author who wrote a wonderful book called Soul Dog, A Journey into the Spiritual Life of Animals. And this will really help us understand not only the soul nature of the dogs, but perhaps the soul nature of all of us in life. And maybe the dogs actually help us discover our own souls. And to help us do that, this book is wonderful. And it's so rich and engrossing. So I'm so happy to be interviewing the author, Elena Manis. Elena, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, this is a journey that you took when you first felt you needed a dog in your life, but you weren't sure that a dog is more than a dog.
I was not at all sure. I mean, I had no such concept at the time. I was a television documentary producer in the middle of my career and really a skeptic about anything quote-unquote woo-woo. I, you know, only believed something if it was proven by empirical evidence, and I really was in a kind of midlife crisis. I'd been in a near-fatal car crash and a film shoot, and a relationship had ended, and I thought, oh, I'll get a dog for, you know, comfort and companionship, and the dog will just be there and comfort me and do whatever I want. Well, I got a standard poodle puppy and brought him home, and...
Wait a second. He got you, right?
He got me. Well, he did. He kind of picked me out, actually.
Right, exactly. I wanted to be clear about that.
Yeah, I was actually intending to get a girl dog, so I thought it would be easier in New York City, where I lived at the time. And the girl dog was turned out to be the one that the breeder took, the co-breeder, because the one that ended up as my dog had been the pick of the litter, but he had a not serious defect, which caused the breeder to go with the girl. So the last puppy left was Brio, who would be my dog. So I brought him home, but he had kind of picked me out. I mean, he made me notice him when I first went to visit the litter, so I do believe he picked me out. It was fake.
Right. Well, obviously, because I even believe that not only did he pick you out to be a soulmate of yours, but to help you create this book.
Well, several people have said that, actually, and I feel that to be true. I was driven to write this book, so I think that he wanted to get the message out.
Well, that's for sure. And so right away, you started to understand that this wasn't a normal dog, because even other experts about dogs were telling you that this was a special dog.
Yeah, just other people, too, and I took him once to a consultation with a nutritionist, an Ayurvedic nutritionist, for me, not the dog, and I had to take him along for some reason I now forget, and the nutritionist took one look at Brio and said, oh, he's an old soul, and the rest of this appointment, I mean, he did give me some advice, but he paid much more attention to Brio. And he also said he's not going to come back as a dog. We know that. So I still don't know what that meant, but
right,
pretty interesting.
Right, and maybe Brio's not sure what it means yet until he decides on his next life.
Right.
So this is a journey that you took, because you started off really being a very normal person, not a woo-woo person, and you were doing TV shows. And there was one experience you had that really fascinated me, because you wanted to do a story having to do with communicating with horses. And you went to the stables at the Belmont Stakes.
Yes, I mean, I had become, because I couldn't really communicate with Brio, I started delving in, putting a toe in the water, calling animal communicators to see if they could tell me what he was thinking and feeling. So along this beginning of this journey with animal communicators, I was working for a news network at the time, and I persuaded them to let me do a story, to have a psychic go out to read a horse that was going to race in the Belmont Stakes. So I got an animal communicator, and I finally persuaded one trainer, only one trainer of any horse that was in the Belmont Stakes would agree to have this psychic talk to his horse.
And it was the trainer of supposedly the worst horse in the lot.
It was the longest shot in Belmont Stakes history, 70-1. His name was Saraba. 70-1. So anyway, I go out with the camera crew and the psychic, and we meet Saraba and the trainer, and the psychic is silent for quite a while. I assumed she was talking to Saraba. And finally she says, he says he's going to win. So everybody's jaw kind of dropped, including the trainers, who said, why does he think he's going to win? Uh-huh. So the psychic says, he's sure he's going to win. He knows he can do it, and he wants to do it for you, the trainer, and his owner. So, you know, I'm thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do with the story? You know, so we all go home, and the next day is the race. So I'm sitting in my living room watching the race, and they get to the far turn, I think it was, and Saraba, nobody mentioned Saraba, he was so far back. And this was the Belmont, a famous horse named War Emblem, was supposed to win, and then he would have won the Triple Crown. So everybody was thinking it's going to be War Emblem. So around the far turn, they come around, all of a sudden the announcer starts shrieking, Saraba is moving up. He's moving up. And Saraba takes over the lead, beating War Emblem and everything, everybody else. And nobody can believe it. The announcers say, War Emblem, Saraba has won the Belmont Stakes. It's like,
this horse knew he could do it.
Thinking, oh my goodness. You know, and so I call the psychic who's in upstate New York, and she knew. She said she was convinced, but even she was crying. She said that, you know, she was really with the horse and that he was so proud of what he had done and that he really had done it for his owner and trainer. So, that still gives me goosebumps when I tell that story.
Yeah, that's why I asked you to tell it.
If anybody's interested, they can Google the race. Uh-huh. The Belmont Stakes and...
Right, that's great.
But yeah, it's pretty fun.
So you started to really be interested in animal communicators and found out that they had a lot of proof in terms of your experience of what they were saying.
Yeah, it got to the point that I could not deny that something was going on that I could not explain by rational means within the realm of our five human senses. There's no way they could have known some of the details they were giving about Brio, where we lived, what he did, what was going on in my life from his point of view. This is often astounding, you know, where I'd been or where he'd been. And
I understand. I once had an experience, because I'm an intuitive healer. This woman called me and said, you work on dogs? And I said, no, I don't, not experience. I don't think that way, that I work on dogs. She said, well, I want to bring my dog in because he's hurting and I want you to see what you can do. So, and I didn't know who she was. And she shows up with the dog, with her husband. And the two of them come in and the dog has a broken leg. And actually I did say on the phone, she said, my dog broke his leg. And I said, oh, you mean that back right one? And she said, oh, yes, that's the one. And so, that helped convince her to come in, I guess. And so they came in, and the two are sitting there with a dog with a broken leg. And I look at this dog, and I go, I say to the dog, what's up? Why is this, what's this broken leg about? And he said, I had to do it. I said, what do you mean? You had to break your leg? He said, yes. So what's that about? I can't even imagine. He said, it was the only way I could imagine keeping this couple together. And I said, okay. And I looked at the couple and I said, let me tell you what the dog just told me. that he broke his leg to keep you together. I had no idea about their relationship. And they said, oh, that's too bad. We just signed our separation papers this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
So I guess I'm an animal communicator.
You are.
And then I had a client. I was just telling a client recently, the other day, about your book, Soul Dog, and how I was going to interview you. And she said, oh, do you remember when I called you from my home? She lives in a ski area. And she said there was a dog that ran away on his leash. He pulled away and ran off into the mountains. And they were trying to find him. And he was gone for a couple weeks. And she went out to find him and to help find him. And she found him 3 times. But each time she found him, he broke away again. And so she called me and she said, how are we going to catch this animal? I said, what you're going to do is you're going to send this animal a message. You're going to signal to this animal through your mind that he's going to come to a nearby golf course where you're going to show him in your mind, and a place on the golf course where you're going to show him that he needs to come and meet his owners there. And she did that, and within a few hours, the dog showed up at that spot on the golf course.
Yeah, I have a similar story in my book.
I know, that's why I thought of telling you that.
I mean, it's when you get into this, it's not so infrequent, you know, that these things occur, you know. I mean, once you start talking to people and...
Your book is full of information about the magic between magic of communication with animals between us and them and they and themselves, and it's amazing what I think, you know, your book inspires us to, because I think the more that we're open to this, the more we allow ourselves to tune in.
I agree. I mean, it certainly opened me up. I mean, I wouldn't call myself a professional animal communicator, but, you know, I certainly believe, I'm a true believer now in the possibility of communicating with another species, even after death, which, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about a bit.
Sure.
And, you know, I cannot question it. I've had too many amazing experiences with it. So it truly has changed my life. And, you know, and that's one reason I wanted to write the book, to, you know, hope that other people will at least be curious. And
right, but it comes from your point of view to start off with, of not understanding any of this or even imagining it could be true. But you developed that belief because of your experiences with it. And you had so many.
I did.
Right. And one thing I want to talk about that's very interesting is that you had this one dog, Brio, who was a special soul and introduced you to souls and to soulmates. And then after Brio passed, you got another dog, Bravo, and you saw that Bravo wasn't the same as Brio. Bravo could be wonderful and is a great pet or a great, you know, even soulmate, but at a different level. And what I want to help the audience understand is that, you know, humans are like that too. And dogs are like that. Every species is like that. I did some shows not long ago with a woman who communicates with squirrels and rabbits and hippopotamuses and birds and you name it, and how they all communicate with each other. And what she learned is that only the advanced souls of those species were the ones that communicated with her. And the rest of them, they were great at doing their communication within their own species and doing their thing right. And, you know, that's how the species work. And we might talk about Rupert Sheldrake and his morphogenetic field and understanding that there is a consciousness that each species works with. And And so not every soul is as advanced as Brio to be able to do this. And so, but dog owners can feel and understand the soul of every pet because it's there, but they're not all here to help them write books about it and to, you know, do advanced work and communicate about advanced things.
Right. I mean, I love Bravo, my current dog, and he's very smart. I mean, he's just a younger spirit, I think,
right,
than Brio, who had this wisdom. And, you know, I do feel, I feel Bravo's spirit, and that he has a soul, but you put it very well, that he doesn't, you know, it's not a, the same ilk as Brio's.
But I want people to understand that humans are like that too.
Yes.
And it, you know, it kind of disappoints me a lot when I realize that all, not all humans are of the same ilk, especially doing the kind of work I do. So many people can't relate to it at all. And, you know, so so those people will be happy to have pets that are normal souls. And, you know, you needed a more advanced soul.
But I think, I mean, no matter how you come at this, or, you know, what ilk you are, supposedly, in terms of your soul or your communication
soul with development,
your companion animal, mm-hmm. It's so, I believe the message here is really affirming for anybody who loves their dog or their cat or whatever, that, you know, there is a spirit that endures, you know,
yes,
after physical death, that, you know, there's so much grief, and I've gone through it too. You still feel the grief, but it is affirming to really know at some level that the spirit is still there, you know, that the consciousness endures.
Right. And there's so much understandings about it, both in the animal world, or as you like to say in your book, in the non-human animal world, to differentiate between us as animals. And yet all spirits have all everything, all sentient beings, because you also talk about trees in your book and how they communicate. So, you know, there's some kind of awareness. You know, trees don't necessarily have brains. So what do they have? You know, they have spirits, and we don't know how spirits, where spirits exist even within us.
Yes, I mean, the tree communication is fascinating. That's pretty recent science that is showing that trees communicate through their root systems. And
right, but that's science. But actually, a lot of psychics, intuitives, have spoken with trees many times.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and actually, one of the best ways to do landscaping and gardening is to talk with your plants and, you know, and let them tell you where to plant things or what goes on. And yet it's different than the soul of a dog that is more active in ways that we understand.
But going back to my experience with Brio, I mean, that was one of the most astounding times in my relationship with him, was after he physically passed, that the communication kept coming, and with incredibly accurate messages.
Right, I know, and you also were speaking to intuitives who could connect with Brio also, and those are called mediums, and I know, for instance, I'm not a medium, but I do have my guides, whoever it is who speaks to me, will interface with the dead for me. So I can actually know things, but not as directly as mediums do. So that's a talent in itself. And you were able to find people who could do that with Brio. And you talk about what you refer to as ADC, Advanced Death Communication. And actually, I'm going to have a show coming up next week that there are actually people who make audio recordings of the dead. They actually can speak on tape or, you know, virtually. and we're going to play some of them. They only go for about 2 seconds. But the dead will identify themselves and have a message. And there are groups of people around the world who actually specialize in that. Whoever heard of that? So maybe Brio might come through on tape.
Well, you never know.
No, that's the point. There's so much that we don't know. And that's what I love about your book, is that it addresses the whole aspect of mystery of life in the discovery process we're in now, to understand who are we really, and who are our pets really, and why do we have them? And could you say that they're not just pets, they become family. And what does that mean? Soul family, I guess it means.
And teachers. I mean, I really believe that they come in part to teach us.
Right. So it's fantastic how we learn from living with nature. Because let's say our pets are part of nature, our environment around us, that humans have become separate from. And we're now getting back into it. And your book is very helpful to bring us back, not only about our pets, but just about soul reality. What does it all mean that we have souls, that we have pets that have souls, and who are we in the universe because of that? And you explore so much of the afterlife and reincarnation and understanding why we have the relationships we have. Like Brio was there for a purpose for you, for a great purpose. So
fascinating. It was
an
amazing journey for me. I mean, I think I take no credit for it really. I mean, I just came through Brio.
You were perfect for it.
Came through Brio, so.
No, but you were, your soul was perfect for Brio, and he was perfect for you. So much of this is not really about our relationship with our pets so much as our relationship with soul reality. And to honor our pets more, because I like you talk about the history of, for instance, we've been told religiously that we should have dominion over the animals, the non-human animals. Well, that means to try to control them or use them or abuse them, or all this dominion is ego, is abuse. And yet Saint Francis of Assisi, as you say in your book, said that we should be of service to our humble brethren. And that was, so glad that you included that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so that's the point, is that you cover the scope of possibility, opportunity, what we're here to get more out of life. And I think nowadays we really need to dig deeper into our soul journey to understand what really counts versus external things that we pay maybe too much attention to.
I certainly agree. I mean, that's a point that I've been led to through this experience. Definitely.
Right. And you chose Brio really because you were at a point where you were very successful in life in so many ways, but you needed to go on a soul journey and have some very important soul lessons. So the book is about to come out. You're about to launch it. Soul Dog, A Journey into the Spiritual Life of Animals. And your name is Elena, M-A-N-N-E-S, Manes.
Right. And it's going to be released next Tuesday, November 13th. You can go to the book website to see the links to buy it on all the big booksellers and others. It's www.souldogbook.com.
Oh, good.
You know, look at the major booksellers, you'll see it. And
right. And the show will air just shortly after it launches. It'll air next Friday. So what a treat talking with you about this. And you know, I was so grateful to read the book because it enriched my soul. You know, it just made it clearer and clearer how wonderful it all is.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, it truly means so much to me.
Well, yeah, that's, you wrote the book because it all truly meant so much to you that you wanted us to feel it. And I think the book helps us do that.
Thank you. This has been such a pleasure for me.
Good. Thank you. Me too. Elena Manis, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.